From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, welcome to today's Mind Medicine program. I'm Charles Coves, your host, Australasia's passion provocateur. Everybody, we're up to over a year now of this program. How about that? Every fortnight, be with you for 2 hours. And if you've missed any of the shows, all of them are still relevant, by the way. You can go back and listen like you can to all TNT radio programs. It's great to be with you. This show is all about how and why mind matters. Give you ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. I mean, you know, what is life about? That's part of why you come to this show, to find out what life is about. We give you insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And in that regard, this program is brought to you in association with Mind Medicine Australia. And let me tell you about Mind Medicine Australia. We're thrilled to support this wonderful mental health charity. It is Australia's leading not-for-profit organisation working on the use of medicinal psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies to treat a range of mental illnesses. Mind Medicine Australia exists to help alleviate the suffering caused by our accelerating mental illness epidemic in Australia through expanding the treatment options available to medical practitioners and their patients. The website is mindmedicineaustralia.org. Unlike current treatments, such as antidepressants, which only manage the illness and can have nasty side effects, psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies have been scientifically proven to be a safe and effective cure for anxiety, depression, end-of-life stress, addictions of all descriptions, and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, after just a short treatment program. These medicines are also currently being researched for dementia, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorder, and a range of other conditions. Research from over 160 trials indicates that the medicines are safe and non-addictive when administered within a medically controlled environment and lead to remissions in 60 to 80% of patients after just 2 to 3 medicinal sessions in combination with psychotherapy. There have been no adverse events in thousands of patients. Just imagine that. It's quite extraordinary. Some people have psychotherapy for years and years and years, and these solutions are quick, no more suffering. Like, it's just incredible. Both of these medicines have been granted breakthrough therapy status by the FDA to fast-track their approval. This designation is only given to medicines which may prove to be vastly superior to existing treatments. Mind Medicine Australia is dedicated to helping the rapidly emerging global movement to spread awareness and ensure these medicines are available to those who desperately need them via the medical system. Mind Medicine Australia has chapters all over Australia and also has a wonderful global webinar series. Mind Medicine Australia conducts a certificate in psychedelic therapies. It is one of the world's best psychedelic therapist training programs, and graduates rave about the program. The recent pandemic has exacerbated Australia's mental health epidemic, and these treatments have the potential to cure millions of people who are suffering. Please visit the website again, mindmedicineaustralia.org, and spread the word. Your family and friends need these solutions to their health, to their particularly their mental health challenges. So we're delighted to help Mind Medicine Australia. Now, I am Australasia's passion provocateur, and I spend for the last 29 years since I left my legal career, although I do a lot of work as a legal strategist these days, as a passion provocateur, provoking people to discover and pursue their passion. Now, my proposition to you is that if you are passionate about what you're doing, your mental health challenges will be far, far less. And it's, you know, I've worked with many people over the past 29 years, and I'm so confident telling you that if you aren't feeling good about yourself, discover your passion. My two books are Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance. And you can also get a weekly dose of some ideas that will help your life from the Charles Covess Show, which you can find on YouTube, and also my website, covess.com. Now, this week, we've got two wonderful guests in the first hour, Ruwana Segal, and she's got some amazing stuff in the realms of metaphysics. And in the second hour, Professor Ian Brighthope. And I've got some dramatic, astounding, important news for you. So stick around for that. So Ruwana, I'll introduce her shortly after I make a couple of comments about what's happening on the planet. Now, on the 17th of January, which happened to be my mother-in-law's 80th birthday, and it was the first round of the men's tennis at the Australian Open, I was a guest in Novak Djokovic's box at the Australian Open. And I'm delighted to say, to note that he's in the final on Sunday night. He won the semi-final last night. And I admire him enormously, because not only because of his tennis, but the charity works that he does is quite remarkable. And also, I admire anybody who stands up for their principles at their own expense. And Novak has certainly done that. Now, the other issue that's hot on my mind is Australia Day. So 2 days ago, we had Australia Day on January 26th. And the activists are pushing hard to get rid of Australia Day, calling it Invasion Day. And it's quite, you know, I just want you all to observe the activist minority. See, I'm an Australian. I was born in Australia. My parents were refugees from Hungary. Well, I consider myself entirely 100% Australian with Hungarian background. Ruwana's going to tell you. No, she won't, but she might talk about her Italian background. You never know. You know, we are Aussies, and we give people a fair go. And what the part of the problem with these activists is the rest of us get on with life. Oh, look, you know, let them make noise. But the politicians respond to noise. And I think all of us, it's salutary to note that if we don't make a noise to maintain what we've got, we will lose it, because the politicians will just do what the minority activists want. So I urge all of us to take an interest in what we consider to be important. And if you don't fight for what you think is important, there's a big chance you can lose it. You all know I'm an opponent of any wokeness, and it was good to see on the front page of The Australian this week in the Sydney Film Awards, criticism by the chairman, who then resigned from the Sydney Film Institute, that they're getting rid of all gender, you know, they're just awards, no male, no female. This is wokeness gone mad. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is 15-minute cities. Now, if you haven't heard of 15-minute cities or 20-minute cities, I consider it to be a grave, grave evil. And what it means, all in the name of sustainability, and Ruwana Segal is with me, committed to sustainability, but the Sustainable Development Goals of the UN are being used for all sorts of evil reasons, including limiting us to traveling, to only moving 20 minutes walking distance from our homes. Get that. Imagine that. And only 100 times a year can you go further than that, otherwise you'll be fined. This 20-minute, 15-minute city strategy is evil. Please take an interest in your local councils. Do not put up with this nonsense. And it's all said to be in the name of sustainability, so that you don't drive your car, so that you're limited to this tiny little area. I call bullshit on this strategy, and I want all of you to take an interest in it. And there's lots of other things I can talk about. I'm just thinking, the other thing I wanted to mention was medicinal cannabis. So whilst we support Mind Medicine Australia, I'm secretary of the peak national body for hemp and cannabis in Australia, and I'm on the international board of the Federation of International Hemp Organisations. And medicinal cannabis is also a wonderful natural product that can make wonderful, wonderful beneficial impacts on people who have mental health issues, have anxiety issues, have sleep issues. Please also take an interest in that and understand the difference between THC and CBD, tetrahydrocannabinol and cannabidiol. And it's only THC that makes you high, but there's some such wonderful stories of children who have 200 epileptic fits a day. They get on a medicinal cannabis and they disappear. Overnight, they disappear. It's such a wonderful, wonderful solution. All right. Now, our first guest, Ruwana. Our second guest of the second hour will be Professor Ian Brighthope. Now, Ruwana, I have known, I have to confess, since 1992 we met, and that in my calculation adds up to 41 years. We should have a photo somewhere, Ruwana. Now, Ruwana is a lover of matters metaphysical, astrological, sustainable. Do you like that? Metaphysical, astrological, sustainable, and tarological. Tarot. Ruwana has been a lifelong student. She continues to be a lifelong student. We're going to explore what her studentship is about. Ruwana and I are trustees of the Global Energy Network Institute. We will touch on that perhaps. But I invited Ruwana because I really am interested in metaphysics and tarot and mental health and you know, living the life that fulfills you. Ruwana, welcome to the Mind Medicine Program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Charles. Thank you.
It's wonderful to be here. Now, you've been involved in tarot for 28 years. I see from 1995 you got into it. But you know, I really want to dig deep on that. I want people to understand. I've been to tarot readings. I see how popular they are. I've had tarot readings. I love tarot readings. And I really want to go deep. But tell us about your journey that led, you know, to you in 1995 getting into tarot.
Well, 1995 is when I became a professional member of the Tarot Guild of Australia. And so I've been teaching professionally since 1995, but I've believed in magic and astrology and tarot way before that. So I think that the first, I've always believed in magic. And, you know,
I love magic, and Deepak Chopra says, you know, magic happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know which story to tell first, but magical things seem to happen around us all the time, and I think the first time I really believed in magic is, I don't know, when I was young, and I write about this in my book, Tarot Distinctions, as well. There was a little game we played at school where you had a wool, you made a little bracelet out of wool, and you tied seven knots and you made seven wishes. And then on the seventh day, you got the person that you liked or loved the most in your life to break it off, and your wish would come true. And I did that. And that Saturday afternoon, an auntie of mine dropped off a record player for me. Like, that's what I wished for, a record player. No one knew that I wanted a record player. And that afternoon, within 2 hours, this record player comes through the door with records, and like my mind was blown. Like, it was just an incredible experience. So, and astrology, I've always looked in the paper and read the astrology and just wanted to know more. And then when I found out about the Chiron Centre, it was a centre that happened in Fitzroy, I think, at the time, I just enrolled. Like, there was just no question. You know, when you have to do it, you just enroll. And the course, it was a diploma course for 4 years, but I did it for seven because I just wanted to go back there and be in that space. You know, I just loved it so much. And then I found out about tarot. I mean, with school, I wasn't really, you know, that academically inclined. You know, I was a BC student, but art and creation, I was A's all the way. So when I heard about tarot and pictures, and I just did and absorbed whatever course I can afford to do. You know, back then there was no internet. It was only through people and books and, you know, learning as much as you could.
And you and I met through a wonderful, wonderful course called Money and You. So you did it in the 80s. So what was, one of the issues around mental health is lifelong learning. You are a lifelong learner. I am a lifelong learner. You know, what's your sense of what, you know, why are you like that when you weren't a superstar at school?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I talk about being on the crest of the wave to find out what is the latest in out there that's available with knowledge, with books, courses, what's the latest thing. I talk about how, you know, when I started doing readings at the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival, you know, this spirulina came out. It was like the first known.
I remember spirulina. Yeah.
The first known superfood. You know, I was like, oh my God, you've got to get into this, and spirulina and shakes and breakfasts, whatever. And then the following year, goji berries was the latest thing. And then the following year, chia seeds came out, you know, and that was amazing, chia seeds. And then turmeric came out. And then hemp seeds came out. Like, there's always this latest thing. You know, so education, learning, it's always about what's the latest thing, the latest book that you have to learn about or read about or know about so that you can share. Because when you talk to people, you might recommend one book to one person or a course, but somebody else, you recommend something else to help them.
I like that, Rue, living on the crest of a wave.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to picture our lives, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine being King Charles. You know, he was named after me. Oh, hang on, I was born that way. Anyway, imagine being King Charles or any celebrity, you know, where you know for the next 5 years what you're going to be doing. Your diary is so full. Mm. You know, it's what a shocking way to live life, isn't it? That there's no crest of a wave because you know exactly what's going to be coming. Whereas on a wave, you never know what's going to happen.
It's true. You've got to like find that balance, you know, like on the surfboard to ride that wave. I still feel he, you know, even though he knows what he's going to do, there's still things that pop up that he has to like balance or, you know.
Well, that's right. Harry might come out with another book and then have all sorts of comments to make. Now, believe in magic. You see, this is your use of the word magic. I mentioned Deepak Chopra, you know, the law of attraction. Set your intention and the law of attraction applied, and you put your attention on your intention. It's an important distinction. Put your attention on your intention of what you want, not what you don't want. And then the universe,
well, there's another step player. There's another step there. Then you have to get in action, and that's why I call my business Tarot in Action, because it's so nice to have a tarot reading, but if you don't do anything with it, how are you going to make it happen?
Nice. All right. We're going to unpack tarot when we come back after these short breaks. I'm with Ruwana Segal, who is a tarot genius, and I'm Charles Cobes. This is the Mind Medicine Program. We'll be back shortly.
Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
It's often been said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If that's the case, then such corruption would seem most evident when man surrenders so easily to his most depraved and sadistic and absolutely perverted impulses. Now, in considering the extent of the global pedophilia pandemic and child physical and sexual abuse and related criminal activity indulged in by our power elites, one thing is certainly clear: the deep-seated depravity and moral turpitude and studied indifference to human suffering that's manifested by these people. Such crimes themselves are rendered even more shameful by the degree to which their accomplices at the highest levels within and across the political, social and economic spheres so frequently protect these perps from exposure and therefore prosecution is perhaps the biggest blot on the landscape of civilized society and the most savage indictment on our modern humanity.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Mabry on TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at salemnow.com.
The Green New Deal supports the abuse and murder of children in the Congo, mining for cobalt for the electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Mind Medicine Program. I'm Charles Kobes. My guest is the wonderful Ruwana Segal, an expert in tarot. Now, before we unpack tarot, Bruno, I call you Ru because I think it's lovely. How did you get the name Ruwana? Tell us.
Well, my original name was Anna, and I was married for 20 years, and I was, you know, Anna and my married name. And after 20 years, I felt I couldn't go back to my maiden name because I wasn't that young girl anymore. So during this time that I left my marriage, a spiritual person gave me a spiritual name, Rudy, from the Garuda bird. So Garuda is the male bird, Garudi is the female bird. He was a vehicle for Krishna. And so I became Rudy or Ru. And during this time I got into Taekwondo. I became a drummer in a band. We used to play four nights.
And you were a black belt in Taekwondo, weren't you?
Yeah, and I still am.
Excellent. So once you get it, you don't lose it, do you?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You have that hierarchy or that respect, yes. Mm. And I found that this, you know, I went from this married female, you know, woman to this, I don't know, this masculine side of me came out. I was more out there. I was more boisterous. And I felt that wasn't me either. So I ended up getting the Ru from Rudy and I put it together with the Anna and I created Ruana. And I feel like the two parts of myself, the male-female parts of myself, came together.
It's a beautiful story. And then what about your surname?
Well, Segal, one of my heroes is Steven Segal because of all the Taekwondo. And also if you break down the surname, it says Sea Eagle. So I feel like I want to, like, fly past that eagle as well.
So you know, what's your sense of the importance of our names? You know, that it's, you're really unpacking beautifully the import of our names can have a really profound impact on our lives.
Oh, absolutely. I went from this housewife of 20 years to all of a sudden I started to travel. You know, I went, I remember I first went to Sydney for the Mind, Body and Spirit, then I went to Queensland, then I went to Uluru, then I went to Singapore, then I went to Europe. It was like my business exploded. I started buying property. It was a different vibration. I stepped up. This magic started to happen, but, you know, I did the work to do that, but it was a different vibration. I became a different person. And I have a lot of people that come and do my numerology course because they want to know, should they stay their married name or change their married name or hyphenate their name or, you know, what is it with the name? So it was, that's a big question.
Excellent. Everybody. So that's one of the issues to think about. Should you change your name and what impact is your name having? Now on astrology, we're working our way to tarot, but... But it, why do you think, so the newspapers are full of astrological readings and it's hugely popular, but so many people totally poo-poo astrology.
Yeah.
This is so strange to me that so many people love it and yet, and it's just woo-woo. But I also, as I'm asking you that question, you know, people who don't understand stuff tend to rubbish stuff, don't they?
That's right. They're in fear of it. So, you know, to me, I teach psychology, astrology. So anything that's going to help to understand the being of human beings is only going to help you and somebody else. You know, why was this relationship with your mother like this and your father like that? Why did this happen with your siblings? You know, is your, you know, this is why your partner is like that. It just understands things on another level.
Yeah, I've had some astrological readings, and the mathematics and the physics in the charts that I was given blew my mind, but we won't go there. Mm. If we have a moment, we will. Now, let's get to tarot. Mm. I've had a number of tarot readings. Just explain tarot broadly, and then we'll go deeper.
Oh, goodness, where do you start with tarot? It's basically you're looking at archetypal symbols, and across all cultures, certain symbols mean certain things. I mean, everyone loves to interpret a dream, and everyone interprets the dream really well. Well, interpreting tarot is like interpreting a dream. You see these symbols on this card, these images, and they explain things. You know, it describes things. And so, you know, understanding what those archetypal symbols mean, you know, and I teach in Singapore as well, and you know, they speak you know, a lot of Chinese there, and the symbols are the same. Doesn't matter what culture you come from, it's, you know, the snake is seen as this, and the bunny rabbit is seen as that. So that's basically what's happening. So when you're at that crossroad in life, that's when it's a really good time to have that tarot reading. Deep down, I truly believe that you will always do what you are going to do anyway. And so a really good tarot reading should confirm what you're thinking or what you're planning to do.
Mm. And how do you do a tarot reading? Because I know there's a deck. How many cards are there in the tarot deck?
There's 78 in all, but everyone does different readings for different questions maybe, or you might have your one spread that you like to do that you bank on. And, you know, you interpret the cards, and they should either confirm what the person is thinking, or they could suggest that, no, if you keep going this way, it won't end well, which will then confirm their, still confirm something for them, like, yeah, I know, I should go the other way, because really what you're dealing with is the ego. And not only the ego, you've got your patriarchal voice and your inner critic in there all telling you how it all should be. So to have a consultation with someone that you don't know, that doesn't know you, to give you that, you know, a different viewpoint, or discuss it, open it up for that discussion, can give you that extra insight and in planning, in taking the right course for yourself. Yeah. So
at Mind Body Spirit festivals that go all around Australia, and I've been a speaker at a number of those as a passion provocateur. So I've seen people line up outside your booth, you know, where they pay $25 to come and sit with you and to have a reading, and lots of other tarot readers. And there are different styles, aren't there? There's a whole bunch of, and people have their favorite tarot readers. How does that work?
Yeah, everyone does it different. You know, some people, yeah, it's just done differently. And I find once you find the way that works for you, you trust that, and that's the one you work with, and you know, you flush things out and open, you know, you go deeper. You can go deeper.
And there are a number of ways to do tarot reading. So when you run classes for your students, do you give them a range of options, and then they choose what they feel you know, the one that's right for them?
When I teach, I'll teach them as much as I can, because, and the more you study, the more work I've done, the further I can take them down that path to prepare them. But they're going to choose the spread and the cards they like to play with or whatever. It's, you know, there's no strict one way of doing it. Plus, remember, we're all clairvoyant, we're all psychic, we're all clairauditory, we're all clairsentient, claircognitive. We have a combination of these special gifts. You know, these, you know, I always mention how a dog, like with our hearing, for example, you know, we can only hear a certain range, but dogs can hear higher, right? And there's lower bass tones. Same with vision. You know, we can only see what we see, but there's ultraviolet and infrared. So there's things outside our sight and sound that we can tap into. Then there's past life regressions, and you know, there's all sorts of hypnosis. There's all sorts of tools, modalities that can that people will gravitate towards one thing or the other to help them find that right answer or path for them,
or the next step on their path. So, can you give us a couple of I think stories are great, and I really haven't been thinking enough about mental health, because at Mind Medicine Australia, you know, with psilocybin and MDMA, that has wonderful, opens up amazing possibilities in our minds. Mm. So give us one or two stories of people who have had tarot readings, and then the benefit for them of coming, you know, someone who's come to you and they go, wow, that's right, and bang, they took the action that you talked about earlier. Does anything come to mind? I know you've got hundreds of clients.
Yeah, there's so many stories. I mean, just one quick one the other night, there was the sun conjunct, so with another planet, Mercury. So Mercury, we know, is the planet of communication. He was the god, the messenger of the gods. And both the sun and Mercury were in the sign of Gemini. And all I said was, I was talking to my client, and this was her partner's chart. And I said, oh, does your husband talk a lot? That's all I said. And then it just went from there. Oh, my God, he's got a really witty sense of humor. And we have really good conversations. And, you know, he likes to dig, like, just, it just opens it up. You know, just by me saying that one thing. And I don't know him, you know.
Yeah, and you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then over the journey with your 28 years now of being a professional tarot reader.
Yeah.
Have people come back, or I presume you have clients who come back regularly?
Yes, every year.
So clearly they're getting benefit from what you share with them, otherwise they wouldn't be coming back to you.
That's right.
One of my favorite Latin maxims is res ipsa locata, the facts speak for themselves. They come back to you, clearly you're adding value.
Well, I wouldn't be doing this for 28 years. You know, who plans to be a tarot teacher? Like, I have, you know, yeah. I've and I'm living successfully, and I wouldn't be where I am if it didn't work, or it didn't work for people, or, you know, I didn't have that integrity, or, you know, what people are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I urge listeners to look into tarot. It's a little bit like getting a doctor. You never know what you're going to get. And there's massive, or a lawyer. I mean, I was a lawyer. There are so many dud lawyers around, and there are terrific lawyers. There are Julie, as you know, my wife, she's in the dental industry. There's a massive difference in quality between dentists. You don't just go to a dentist and assume they're the same. Similarly with tarot readers. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you say, what is your comment on Deepak Chopra, who I've met through Leon Naxon and Hay House? I'm a Hay House published author, as is Deepak, and I've spent some time with Deepak, which is great. He says, we are energy. We are simply energy events.
Yes, that's nice. A pack of energy. You know,
a pack of energy.
These cells that are just moving all the time. You know, I don't know much about Deepak Chopra. I've done some of his courses, some of his meditation training courses, and read some of his books too. But my number one mentor that I would go to is Buckminster Fuller, and how he sees the world, and how he says that there's laws in nature, and I see these same laws in tarot and in astrology as well. So, you know, like the gravity and the law of attraction, so he you know, I really gravitate towards that. Who else? Bruce Lipton.
Bruce Lipton is wonderful, isn't he?
Yeah, and he I like how he says it's the environment, stupid. So that was a chapter in one of his books. He said how he took a cell that wasn't operating well from a cancerous environment or a horrible, and he put it into a healthy environment, petri dish, and that cell behaved well, like it got better. And then he took that same cell and he put it back, epigenetics, that's what it's called. He put it back in that unhealthy environment and it got sick again. So that's why he said it's the environment, stupid. So if we're all just cells, you know, you have to like put yourself in that environment or surround yourself with people that you love or support you so that you thrive and become healthy.
You know? And indeed, Julie says that for dental practices, you know, people come into a dental practice to work, nurses and dentists, and, you know, often a dentist owner will say, oh, this person's no good. And you know, you've just raised the point. Well, hang on, is it this person who's no good, or is your environment no good? It's a provocative question and an important question. Now let's turn to numerology. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do a numerology reading on me. So get this, Rue.
Okay.
I was born on the 14th.
Yes.
Which is a 5.
Yes.
I was born on 14 October 1952, so I'm just over 70 years of age, and that also adds up to a 5.
Okay.
14, 10, 1952.
Yep.
And then I have 5 brothers and sisters, and I have 5 children.
And what does the number 5 mean?
Correct. That's that's correct, Ruth.
It's all about change and being different and, you know, walking that path that path of least walked. You know, that it can go too far left, too can be too weird, but you have to, it's a balance of not, you know, walking that razor's edge, as another mentor of mine, William Whitecloud, would say, not falling into either side, but walking that razor's edge but doing it your way, you know, doing it in your unusual, wonderful way. And you're really good at getting people to look outside the box as well, you know.
So freedom, you know, my link is number 5 are all about freedom,
travel, looking outside that box,
and not having people tell me how to live inside, not telling me how to live my life, so that then I'm getting a sense that because of your skills in you've studied numerology.
Yeah.
So then when you're doing a tarot reading, do you then take into account numerology elements or not?
Absolutely, and astrology as well, because those three modalities work really well with tarot, because every tarot card is numbered. And then astrology, for example, the moon card is ruled by the moon and the sun card is ruled by the sun. So those three modalities work really well. So I always look at those three things when I do a reading for somebody.
Very good. Well, I recommend these types of modalities for mental health. And how young can you be for these? So if you've got teenagers or young adults or what?
If someone is under that 16 to 18 years of age, you can get some mature 16-year-olds and then some young 18-year-olds, but I'll ask a parent to sit with the child because they don't have enough life experience to understand. But, you know, I have done readings at parties for kids, and there are tarot cards for kids that you can buy that speak about fairy tales, and then you like unpack what that fairy tale or what that message in that fairy tale is all about. So, you know, which is more appropriate?
Yeah, let's go to archetypes after. We've got to go for a station break. I'm Charles Covessa. I'm with Ruwana Segal, a metaphysical, astrological, numerological,
tarological
expert. And we'll be back shortly on the Mind Medicine program.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Remember back in 2021 when Georgia passed new voting regulations into law? The media and the left went certifiably nuts, claiming without any evidence that the changes were targeting the African-American community and would make it almost impossible for many of them to cast a vote in that state. Voter suppression, they cried. It was Jim Crow, they claimed. And Major League Baseball was so offended that they moved the All-Star game, which was slated to be played in Atlanta that summer. Even record turnout during the 2022 midterms didn't didn't stop the left from repeating false claims about the state of Georgia's election procedures. But a funny thing has happened. The University of Georgia has conducted a poll asking Georgia voters about their voting experiences in 2022. Guess what? 0% of blacks reported a poor experience. In fact, 72%, meanwhile, said that they had an excellent experience, the same as white voters. So, folks, this should finally put to rest that false talking point constantly spewed by the left in order to push their false narrative of black voters under attack in Georgia. Except it won't. In fact, the false claims will only get worse. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
One kind thing. Like giving us the clothes you don't wear anymore.
Gets me a wheelchair and my independence back.
One kind thing, like raising money with a bake sale.
Gives us comfort, food, and a warm smile after floods destroyed our home.
One kind thing, like challenging yourself to a sponsored cycle.
Helps me sleep soundly, knowing my children have clean drinking water.
Choose your one kind thing and help change someone's world. Search British Red Cross today.
You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country is all about.
TNT Radio.
I love that. This is the voice of freedom. I am a freedom warrior, as Ruwana has just read for me. I'm Charles Coves, your host with Ruwana Segal, and I'm a number five. You see, five means all about freedom. So there's so many fives in my life. It's amazing. Now, before the break, we were talking about archetypes, and I haven't studied Joseph Campbell much. But Jim, the late Jim Steins, was a good buddy, and he, you know, talked a lot about the hero's journey, as did Joseph Campbell. And so can you just give us a sense of what these archetypes are about? You know, there's the magician, there's the warrior. What are these archetypes?
Yeah, well, that fits nicely with the tarot too, because in the tarot there's the 56 minor arcana, which represent the, you know, things that we do every day in life. But, and then there's these 22 major archetypes. The hermit, you know, that one that walks their own path, the magician, as you said, the empress, the emperor. And the word archetype, if you break it down, means archi, which represents old. And so we get words like architecture or archaeology. And type, which means model, or a pattern. So, and you know, the hero's journey to me is an old story, and I think we all go through our own journey. But the whole Joseph Campbell story about that is, we're all born princes and princesses, and in the olden days, if you were born a prince, you would be hidden, because they would kill you to take your throne, to take your position. And then as you matured, you met people and they sort of went, oh, you're a prince, and all of a sudden you put two together and you're like, oh, my God, I'm a prince. And then all of a sudden you realise you've got a battle to fight. You have to fight the dragon. You have to fight for your right to claim your throne. And so this is the hero's journey, and this is also depicted in the 22 major arcana of the tarot, and how, you know, we have the fool, which is the spirit, and he meets the magician, and Joseph Campbell talks about how this story could be also what's his name, Luke Skywalker from Star Wars meeting Obi Kenobi, and then he meets the hermit, the wise one, Yoda, and then he has to fight his dragon, the devil, the shadow side, Darth Vader, to then, you know, claim his throne or to end up in the world. So we're all born with this unconscious knowledge, and then when we become conscious, we all have this battle, this fight, this we all have to fight to claim our throne, to claim our position in life. And only when you fight do you achieve, your success,
Yes, and if you avoid the fight, if you take the coward's route, and that's part of what I teach.
You back off, yeah.
If you don't embrace that fight, then you never become what you're capable of becoming.
You don't know how strong you are. That's right.
Yeah. And so my message for people in terms of their mental health and health generally is we have this idea that the good life is the life without difficulties. And I say that's a lie. What do you say?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I recommend to your listeners to watch a one-hour documentary called Finding Joe. Just type in YouTube, Finding Joe. And it's all about these beautiful people like Deepak Chopra's on there, Robin Sharma. All these people talk about Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey, and there's wonderful simulations of all these kids fighting their dragons and claiming their power. And then, because the other thing that Joseph Campbell says is follow your bliss. Mm. And he says, and so they unpack what does this follow your bliss mean? And this is a way through that quagmire. If you follow your bliss, you work your way through that fight or that, beating that dragon.
And indeed, it's finding and pursuing your passion. And so thank you for that reminder, because I read that book a long time ago, and that's why Joseph Campbell, with those initials JC, being a good Catholic boy as I was. but it's good that, you know, I remember that. It's such a great name, isn't it? Follow Your Bliss. So Finding Joe, J-O-E, on YouTube.
Yep.
So then let's. I hope, dear listeners, you're getting the complexity of who we actually are. We are incredibly complicated. We have mental, physical, spiritual elements. And my definition of health comes from the Hungarian word egészség, and the Hungarian language is very precise. And health, and my definition of health, and most people don't have a definition of health other than they go, well, I'm not sick, so I must be healthy. No, that's not true. Health is the unique optimum balance for each person of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. And what's right for you, Rue, is not right for me.
It's different for you.
It's different for Julie, my wife. It's different for each of my five children.
Mm.
So then now let's go to this, in this question of health, of what is the value for health of essential oils? And tell us about doTERRA. But first, generally, essential oils and then doTERRA.
Oh, wow. So essential oils, I love doTERRA. When I came across doTERRA, I just quickly got on board, because they were just the whole integrity of the whole company I love as well. There's an intelligence in the plant, in the fruit, in the tree bark, and our body has its own intelligence as well. And so when you put the right oil for the right remedy that you're after, and just let that magic, just let that do the work. It does the work. You know, like tea tree, I reckon everybody has to have doTERRA tea tree in their cupboard. I think I was bitten on the foot by a whitetail spider, and every now and then there's this little bubble that just bursts or comes up, and I know what it is. Put a bit of tea tree on there, straight away, next day, gone. You know, whatever scratch or itch I have, tea tree, straight away on there, gone. Or lavender, if you have a burn. Lavender is really good for burns. And just spray some on or rub some in there, and it just takes away the heat, the warmth, the redness. It just does its magic.
And why are they called essential oils?
That's a good question, because you're getting to the essential ingredients.
The essence of plants and the like, perhaps?
Yes, and you know, with doTERRA, which means of earth, doTERRA, they source the product from the best part in the world where it's all naturally grown, like lemons come from Italy, tea tree comes from Australia. I love this one. Peppermint comes from Washington. In the US.
Washington, you know, State, not Washington, D.C.
Washington State.
Yes, yeah. in the west coast of the USA.
So it's sourced from the best, and it's just boiled, and the oil is scooped up the top and put in the bottle. That's it.
And there is a difference, isn't there, between good quality essential oils and cheap quality.
Absolutely. And I think there's no law here in Australia for it to have essential oil on the bottle. If it's got 10% of that oil, they can have essential oil on the bottle, whereas doTERRA is 100% essential oil.
Okay, very good. And so, and how many different essential oils are there in?
Oh my God!
You know, are there hundreds?
Yes, okay. Hundreds. And there's like the pure ones, and then there's combined ones as well. So.
And do essential oils, are they useful for mental health, particularly? Like I certainly get it for respiratory issues because we've had COVID. So lots of oils are used in respiratory.
Yes, and also like if you're stressed, you can diffuse lavender, which is the best one for relaxation, or you can rub lavender into your feet, which has your feet has the biggest pores, so it goes straight into your system.
Oh yes, I never understood that. Just explain that. Why rubbing it on your feet? Is that where your biggest pores are?
Yes, that's why it's wonderful to have reflexology or have your feet massaged or rub the oil into your feet, especially for kids as well. Mm. It goes straight up into your spine, into your system.
Very good, everybody. Please remember that. Now we've only got a few minutes left. Ruwana, I now want to shift to the health of the planet.
Okay.
And your commitment to GENI, the Global Energy Network Institute. Tell us about, you and I are trustees of that, but why are you passionate about GENI?
Oh, my God. As soon as I learnt about Buckminster Fuller and this world game of everybody on the planet having energy without harm to the planet or animals, I've gone, what other game is there to play? I have to get on board. I have to play this game. So I've been playing this game since 1992. I remember Buckminster Fuller, I don't know where I read it, but he was saying how, we're all metaphysical because he was right into the metaphysics. And he said, when the world is cooperating on a physical level, like all linked up with, with wires underwater.
Yes,
cables,
a global grid of wires.
So a physical grid, that is proof that we're metaphysically cooperating, that we are all sharing in the energy, and energy not just electrical energy, but sharing in, as in being kind and taking care of ourselves and the planet as well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what other game is there to play? I want to see the link between Alaska and Russia. I want to, and all the peace plans, for example, between the PLO and Israel. I remember the first item on the peace plan there was to share electricity. Between North and South Korea, the first item on the agenda for peace plan was to share electricity. Electricity is the main source. If we don't have electricity, we don't have irrigation.
Electricity is the foundational difference between rich and poor countries.
Correct. We don't have sanitation, irrigation, refrigeration, industry. Nothing happens without energy today. And as we need new power stations, we have high voltage DC power stations open up so that because every country has its own DC, AC, AC, DC, VDC, we all have to eventually become this one energy source so that we can all share across the different time zones of, sharing the abundance of energy with everybody, following the sun around the planet so that, whatever we don't use today, we move it to the next time zone, until it comes back around to you.
Beautiful. Well, you've spent over 30 years promoting the work of GENI and Buckminster Fuller. So that's a great credit to you. You are a philanthropist. Tell us about your website and your book in the last minute that we've got.
Thank you, Charles. Yes, so for all my courses or for all that I do, please go to my new website, tarotinaction.com.au. Just have a look under services there, or there's all lots of information. I've put so much information on the website because it just saves me repeating myself when I speak to people. It's a great source. That's why, you said send me your CV and resume, and I've gone, everything's on my website, just go there. And my book, Tarot Distinctions, this came about from when my mum was not well. I was able to there's so many tarot books out there, but they're all black and white, and they're all from I think there's only another one that I know that's from Australia, but I wanted the best tarot book out there, full colour, over 460 pages, Australian made, beautiful paper, with like keys and positive, negative words, like just so much information in there, just like my website. And I made my publisher laugh because I said I'm only going to do one book because it took 5 years for me to write that book. I don't think I've got another 5 years to write another book at the moment. That's not to say I can't do it.
That's today. How much is the book?
It's $56.
Very good.
And you can buy it online as well, or just give me an email and I, you know, come and pick it up and save postage.
Excellent. On the website, tarotinaction.com.au. The book Tarot Distinctions. Please check it out, everybody. Ruwana, thank you for being with us. It's wonderful to learn all about metaphysics. And please, I look forward to sharing many years working on journey with you in the years to come. And dear listeners, in the next hour, we'll be with Professor Ian Brighthope, a total genius on holistic medicine and health. We've got important announcements to make, so stick around. Ruwana, thank you for being here. And thank you for listening to the wonderful TNT Radio. And come from your heart space, everybody. The choice is fear or love. On TNT Radio, we come from love and freedom. See you after the news. Thanks, everybody.